Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Tonight, get your Bibles out and go with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, if you find the Psalms in the kind of in the middle of your Bible, head over to the Proverbs. Right behind Proverbs, you'll find Ecclesiastes. Tonight, the title of the message is, This is the End. This is the end. You could put a smile on your face about that, too. This is not a doomsday message. Notice we didn't go to Daniel or Revelation or anything like that. We're going to Ecclesiastes. I was reading through the book, The Pilgrim's Progress. It's a classic in Christian literature. An uneducated man had written it, and they were just amazed at the fact that somebody who was uneducated could write such a great piece of literature. And he follows really, a pilgrim's progress. A man that's a name Christian is going through life and he's going through the trials of life. And as he's going, he starts to wonder if he shouldn't go back. Starts to wonder if he shouldn't regress. And he writes and he says, sometimes he had half a thought to go back. Then again, he thought he might be halfway through the valley. He remembered also how he had already vanquished many a danger. And that the danger of going back might be much more than to go forward. So he resolved to go on. See, sometimes in life, when we look forward to the future, like this time in the season that we're in right now, when we look at 2015, a new year, or even a new day for some of us, we look at it with the eyes of fear. And yet, God has never called us to regress. God has never called us to go back. God has never called us to backslide or to stop. God is always calling us onward, and God is calling us upward with Him. And the Bible gives us clear direction, clear vision, clear wisdom. The Bible gives us clear understanding and encouragements along the way that God has great things in our future. Can you say amen to that tonight? See, because God wants us to look towards the future, not with fear, but with faith. God wants us to look ahead with expectation in our heart and not with discouragement or doubt. God wants us to get a vision that we can face each new day with a smile on our face. Why? Because this is the end. This is what we're going towards. This is what we're headed to. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, did you turn there? Verse number 8, a great verse in the Bible. I've been meditating on it for a while. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 8 says this, the end of a thing. Everybody say the end. See, we're talking about the end tonight. The end of a thing is better. Everybody say is better. End of a thing is better than its beginning. Now this is contrary to way a lot of times we think about life. A lot of times we're looking back to the good old days. A lot of times we're looking back to before we had the problems. We're looking back to before the market crashed. We're looking back to when we had our passion or when we had our health or when we had our purpose or when we had this or that. And we're looking back thinking, you know what, the beginning was way better. The beginning had to have been way better than this. Look at what we've come to, and I don't know, maybe God missed my prayers, or maybe God didn't get me on the right path, or maybe I'm doing something wrong. And we look at where we're at and where we're going, and we kind of look with these eyes of fear. And yet God is telling us something tonight. He says the end of a thing is better than its beginning. I don't know how you started out 2014. Maybe 2014 was a good year. Maybe it was one of those junky years that you wish that you could just put aside and forget that it ever happened. But in any event, we can both say with confidence that the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Why? Because tomorrow's a new day. Why? Because God is still on the throne. Why? Because Jesus is in our present and He's in our future and He's already covered the past. Are you listening tonight? And so the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Listen, you could live a terrible, horrible, worthless life here on the earth, but if you got Jesus, your end is better than your beginning. Some of you guys are getting a hold of this already. Look at what he says. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now, it's very important for us to understand the patient in spirit. Why? Because you are waiting for the end, because the end is better than the beginning. Better than the proud in spirit who says, I know it all. I know better than God. I know what I can do. I know how it is. I got this thing. And no, that's not right. See, when we lift ourselves up against God, pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a great fall. And so we need to understand in our lives that God is telling us something. God is leading us somewhere. God has a vision. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has a destiny for our lives. And he's telling us, even though you may be going through hard times right now, even though you may be looking at the future with uncertainty, not knowing what's going to happen, where it's going to come from, how it's going to all play out, even though you may not know all that stuff, God is saying your end will be greater than your beginning. Church, you know what that means? It means our best days are ahead of us. That means that God has great, mighty, wonderful things in store for our lives. That means that at the end of our life, we can put a smile on our face when we go to be with Jesus, knowing that our end is greater than our beginnings with God. God always goes in greater measure. Hallelujah. So I ask the question, why? God, if that's the case, why? Why is the end greater than the beginning? I mean, starting things is phenomenal, isn't it? Anybody, one of those people, you know, I know in my life I've done this a couple times. You started something out and you got halfway through a book maybe, but you really enjoyed getting going, right? Anybody like starting things? Okay, a couple of you guys are out there, all right? Yeah, cool, all right. See, starting's great. Starting is wonderful. Starting is neat. Starting is passion. Starting is alive. Starting, you know, you get that thrill of starting something. And so I kind of ask, well, then why is the end better than the beginning? If starting is so great, then why would the end be better? A couple of reasons why I found from the Word of God. Let's have some fun in the Word of God tonight. A couple of reasons. Why is the end better than the beginning? First reason is this. Because God works it out for good. Because God works it out for good. See, if the start of something was good, but then it goes bad, God's going to work it out for good. If the start of something is bad, but you belong to the Lord, God's going to work it out for good. Why? Because God is good. Therefore, if God by nature is good, he can only produce good. Thank you. Some of you guys tracking with me. See, God is not going to produce evil, wicked, bad. Why? Because God is good. Therefore, if God is good, then there is no bad in him. Oh, we may not like some of the stuff that he does, but why does he do it? He does it for our good. See, you guys got this. You guys got this. Let's take a look at it in the Word together. Turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter number 8. Great verse in Romans chapter 8, New Testament. Romans chapter number 8. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says this in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28, he says this, and we know, everybody say we know. See, when the Bible says we know, we ought to know this stuff. We ought to get a hold of that. We ought to highlight it or, you know, put a little dog ear on our Bible. That way we can find this verse again. So that when we feel like we don't know, we can go back and say, nope, I know. Because the Bible says so. The Bible tells me so, like the song says. And we know this. We know that what? We know that all things. Now, let me ask you a question. How many things? Does that mean some? Does that mean half? 99.9%? No, that all means all. So we know that all things includes good things. All things includes bad things. All things includes indifferent things. Yeah, you could do with it or do without it. Doesn't matter, right? So all things means all things. So we know something about all things. We know that all things do what? They work together for good. To those who love God. Now, anybody in this place love God? Don't you just love the Lord? See, if you love God, look at, to those who are called according to his purpose. See, if you are a believer, if you are a Christian, born again, given your heart and life to Jesus, then we know something about life. We know that all things as a Christian that we go through are working together for my good. Why? Because I love the Lord and because I'm called according to his purpose. God's going to work it out. Now, I heard about the rug makers in the Orient, right? Have you heard about this? They would have a master weaver, right, work in the loom. And there they are. They would get this massive Oriental rug started. And they would get this rug going, and they'd be weaving this pattern in, right? And so they had some apprentices, and these apprentices would come along, and they would be working alongside the master weaver, and the master weaver would allow the apprentice to go ahead and work the loom. And so here they are, and they're weaving this rug together. And they're using different string, and they're using different things like that. Now, every now and then, something would happen. And they would use the wrong string, or they would mess up the pattern as they were going because they weren't a master yet. They were still learning how to work the loom. They were still learning their craft. And so they would kind of worry a little bit. Oh, no, I think I've messed up the rug. Maybe we're going to have to destroy it. Maybe we're going to have to start all over. Maybe it's just going to be ugly, you know. And so they would call to the master weaver, and he would come over and he would look at this design. He would look at what was going on in the loom, and he would start to weave, and he would start to move, and he would start to make the pattern, and he would work this pattern out as they go, so that at the end of it all, it was no longer a mistake, but now those things that looked like they were going wrong, those things that looked bad now, he worked it out, so it was a beautiful Oriental rug. See, in our lives, God is the master weaver. And at times, you know, we may be doing something in life and we may do something wrong. Something bad may happen. We may grab the wrong thread. We might go the wrong way. We might be thinking we're going according to the pattern when really we got it wrong and we're doing the wrong thing. And yet, when you call upon the Lord and when you love God and you're called according to his purpose and you say, Lord, here it is. God, I messed up. God, take my mess. God, something bad is going on in my life and I may not be at fault, but God, it's still going on. When you bring that to the Lord, God starts to move, God starts to work, and God starts to take that and make it into a beautiful tapestry that all can appreciate. See, those mess ups can turn into your message in life. God works all things together for our good, some translations say. Praise the Lord. Why? Why is the end better than the beginning? Well, because God works it out for good. Why else? Why else? Well, because of the outcome of our faith. Think about this for a second. You are a faith person. The very fact that you came to church tonight means that you're believing in God. And the Bible says that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, because we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. So there is an outcome to our faith. Now, the beginning of faith is great, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Sometimes our faith starts at a problem. Sometimes our faith starts at a trial. Sometimes our faith starts at a revelation. Right? You never knew that you could have something from the Word, and yet all of a sudden as you're reading, you had one of those aha, eureka moments where you just realized, and it was almost like God just zapped you, and wow, look at that. And the Word just popped off the page, and it came alive to you. And all of a sudden, you started to believe God. Now, that's great, but the end is better than the beginning. Why? Because you're going to receive the outcome of your faith. Are you listening? See, if you don't expect to receive what you believe God for, then you're not in faith. You could say, oh, I'm in faith, and the start of it was great, and it was wonderful, but I'm not going to get anything. You know, I just don't see it happening. I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know about that. You know what? I still got the symptoms. I still have the lack. I still have the need. They're still not coming around. We still haven't talked. It hasn't happened yet. We haven't reconciled. I'm believing God, but you know, see, the moment you do that, you've canceled it out. But you have to cross over into believing God. You have to cross over into confidently expecting, I know that I've already believed, therefore I have received. It's on its way. It's just a matter of time. See, that's what this is all about. The end is better than the beginning. Why? Because the outcome of our faith. Let me show this to you in the Word, 1 Peter. You're there in Romans. Turn back towards the back. To 1 Peter, if you hit Revelation on the maps, turn around, come back. 1 Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1. We're going to read verse 6 through verse number 9. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 6. Look at what he says. In this you greatly rejoice. Now remember, we're talking about the end is better than the beginning. So if it's better, then when you get to the end, you're going to be smiling. So in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That's all of us. Listen, guys, that's every single person who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. We've been grieved. There's things that happen in life. There's trials that we go through, pressures and problems and pain. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your, what's that word right there? Faith. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. See, your faith is valuable. Your faith is great. Your faith is the start. Look at, though it is tested by fire. See, we don't like that part. God, I don't want the heat. Well, God says then stay out of the kitchen, right? But you are a person of faith. Therefore, you got to get into the heat. And though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when we, at the end of it all, when Jesus is revealed, when Jesus comes, there's going to be praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Next verse, look at verse number 8. Whom he have not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, there's that word, faith again, believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Why? Verse number 9, here's why. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, in our life, we're going to be believing God for all kinds of things. And we're going to have to believe God in every area of our life. Listen, you cannot raise a family, have children, be married without faith. It doesn't work without it. You got to believe God at his word. You've got to have the word of God for your marriage. Otherwise, you're going to get mad at each other and you're going to separate eventually. Because the devil's going to be coming against you. Your flesh, the selfishness is going to rise up. Pride will come in there and the wedge will be driven and you will eventually separate. But if you have faith, you can believe God that I love her as Christ loved the church. If you have faith, then you can believe God that I'm going to submit to him as the church does to Christ in everything. If you have faith, you can say I love them and I lay down my life for them. If you have faith, you can say I respect him and I can submit to him. With your children, you cannot raise children without faith. Why? Because doesn't it seem like it's such a struggle just to keep them alive until they're 18? I mean, I'm in there right now with you all. Those of you that have children under 18, and man, my goodness, every night, we're sitting there praying over them, checking their breath in the middle of the night, you know. We thought that went away after they were a baby, but then they get older and you're still doing it, you know. Still getting up, still losing sleep. So you got to have faith. You got to trust that God is able to raise your children better than you are. Yeah, he's given you the stewardship. He's entrusted them to your care, but at the same time, God, I'm giving them right back to you, Lord. I'm lifting them right back up to you, God. You got to take care of the heart. You got to take care of the life. You got to take care of the path. God, these are your children called by your name. They are disciples taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace and their undisturbed composure. You got to have faith. You got to believe God. If you want to be successful in life, have a successful, prosperous life, business life, wealth, every endeavor, if you want to be successful, you got to be a person of faith. And if you believe and you remain steadfast, patient, enduring, you'll receive the end of your faith. And eventually, at the revelation of Jesus Christ, eternal life, the salvation of your soul. Can you give the Lord a hand for that tonight? Hallelujah. So why is the end better than the beginning? Because God works it out for good. Because the outcome of our faith, here's a good one, because seeds produce after the labor of sowing. See, the beginning might be fun. Anybody ever planted a garden? Isn't that fun? I remember we had our kids, just speaking of the kids, we were out, all right, we got pictures of them holding plants and everything. Now, we just destroy plants. We kill plants. Our thumbs are not green. They must be like red or something like that because we kill everything that we plant, it seems like. We've had some success recently. We have a little kumquat tree that just blossomed and sprouted. Apparently, it loves the citrus and just loves us, and so we're enjoying that right now. But really, you know, we haven't had much success. But it's a lot of fun getting excited and getting dirty and digging and planting. And, you know, eventually when something does pop up and you can eat it off the tree, you almost feel like you're closer to God because, you know, you're now in the garden and there's nature and all that kind of stuff, you know, and you didn't go to the store for it. And you have that, you know, that purpose and that value. But, you know, even though the beginning is great, the end is better than the beginning. And sowing seed might be fun and it might be good, but there's labor involved. There's time and there's a process involved. And the end is better than the beginning. Why? Because seeds produce after the labor of sowing. Now, we don't like labor. We don't like work. We don't like that strain and that struggle and that trial. But yet, if the end is better than the beginning, we will endure and we will be patient. Why? Because we're looking for the reward. I don't know of any farmers. And my house, my housing tract is surrounded by farms. When I drive home every day, I get a living lesson from the Bible about farms. And I don't know of any farmers who sow seeds and doesn't expect something back in return. I don't know of a single one. They wouldn't have a fruit stand. They wouldn't have a produce stand. They wouldn't have anything in the supermarket. They wouldn't have a business if they did not expect something to come. In our life, it's no different. The end is better than the beginning because seeds produce after the labor of sowing. If we sow the right seed, we can have confidence that we're going to reap the reward. Are you listening? So what is the right seed? It's right here. As you declare the word of God, you can know that my future is going to be better. Why? Because I'm sowing the right seed. I'm sowing good seed. I'm sowing the love of God. I'm sowing the wisdom of God. I'm sowing the praise of God. I'm sowing my financial seed like the Bible says for me to do. I'm going to sow goodness into my community and into my family. I'm going to sow words of encouragement into my children, and they will rise up and call me blessed. I'm going to sow into my husband. I'm going to sow into my wife, and we're going to have a great marriage. I'm going to sow into my business sound principles of wisdom. That book of Ecclesiastes, the book before it, 2 Proverbs, you want to get some business savvy? Oh my goodness, you have the best Jewish business counsel you will ever have in your life. His name is Jesus. He can tell you how to do business right. Hallelujah. And if you sow that right seed, you're going to get the right produce. You're going to get fruit in your life. Turn me to the book of Psalms. Back to the book of Psalms. Past Ecclesiastes, where you just were in the Proverbs, you'll find the Psalms. Psalm 126, we were there this morning as well on Psalm 133, but we're going to go to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, and I want to take a look at two verses, last two verses in the Psalm, verse number 5 and verse number 6. Take a look at this with me. I want you to notice the end, okay? How the end is better than the beginning. It says this in verse number 5, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Isn't that how we want to live life? See, the end is better than the beginning, isn't that true? See, you guys may be crying right now. You may be in this place hurting right now. You may have come into this place sad, but I'm here to tell you tonight, lift up your eyes to the Lord. Why? Because those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Look at the next verse. He who continually goes forth weeping. In other words, this may happen over and over and over and over again. Every day there's going to be a new battle. Every day there's going to be a new trial. Every day there's going to be a new sorrow. Every day there's going to be a new news report or something that comes up. But if you continually go forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. See, that's the difference. You don't have any seed, you don't have any hope. Bearing seed for sowing shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what the sheaves are? That's the harvest. That's the produce. That's the bundles. That's the abundance that God wants to bring into your life. But you got to sow the right seed, and then you will get the right produce. Can you say amen tonight? Hallelujah. God is good. Thank you, Mignon, and those two others for those holy claps in this place. Last one is the best one, I believe. And here it is. Why? Why? Why is the end better than the beginning? Here's why. Because our hope does not disappoint. Our hope doesn't disappoint. See, the world may hope, like, I hope God's going to do something. I hope it's going to happen. I hope I get something in the mail. I hope I find someone. I really hope that I can be something someday. See, that's how the world hopes. Our hope is different. Our hope as Christians is not based in this ethereal kind of cloudy thing, and maybe it's there and maybe it's not, and I don't really know. No, our hope is a confident expectation. Our hope is knowing who God is, knowing the seed that we've sown, knowing what we've done, knowing all of the stuff, knowing that the end is better than the beginning. And therefore, our hope is not like the world's hope. Our hope is a hope that goes on into eternity. We have this hope, the Bible says, as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure, steadfast into the very presence of God. God Himself is holding on to our lives, and that is our hope. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's our hope. Our hope every day is not a hope like the world's where we say, oh, maybe it's going to happen. No, our hope is a confidence. Our hope is yes. Our hope is amen. Our hope is to the glory of God. Hallelujah. See, what makes the difference is patience. Patience. You remember the verse? We started out with it. That the end is better than the beginning, and the patient in spirit better than the proud. See, that's what makes all the difference in life. If you can hold on to hope and you can be patient, if you can stay steadfast and immovable, just like the Lord is, then it's going to make all the difference. Can you wait on the Lord? Can you wait on the fullness of time? Can you wait on the season and the fruit-bearing growth? Can you be patient for the seasons that God has? Romans chapter 5, turn back there with me. Romans chapter 5, such an encouraging word for all of us. We all need some hope. Romans, the 5th chapter, gives us the process that leads us to hope. Romans chapter 5, verse number 3 through verse number 5 says this. Talking about our faith, how we have access to the throne room. In verse number 3, he says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. In other words, when trouble comes our way, we get a smile on our face. Why? Because we know the end is better than the beginning. This may look rough right now, but on the other end of this, there's something good going to happen to me. God's going to work it out. I've sown the right seed. I know what's coming because I'm in faith. Knowing that, there's that knowing again. You ought to underline that. You might want to circle that. You might want to write the reference down because you ought to know this. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Some of your translations say patience. And perseverance, character. That's a godly character. And character, hope. Notice the process. Trial comes our way. Produces perseverance, patience. Patience produces character. Character, hope. Verse number 5, now hope does not disappoint. Did you get that? Hope does not disappoint. You will never be disappointed when you have the hope that's a godly hope. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit is the seal. He is the stamp. He is the guarantee on our life that God is all that He says He is and that He's going to do all that He said He would do. He was the promise that was poured out on the church, and now He is your comforter. He is your counselor. He is your guide. He is your hope giver. Why? Because God loves you and because you're called according to His purpose, and therefore God's working on your behalf for good. You may be going through a trial right now that you're saying, Pastor, you don't understand. Listen, I don't and I don't need you because I know that God is on your side, that God is faithful, and that if you remain faithful, that the outcome of your faith is good. You sow the right seed, you stay in there patiently hope, and it's gonna be better in the end. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Stick with God. Stick with the word. Stick with faith. The end is for your good. What did we learn tonight? Why is the end better than the beginning? Well, we learn because God works it out for good. Why is the end better than the beginning? We learn because of the outcome of our faith. Why is the end better than the beginning? Well, because seeds produce after the labor of sowing. We know that in the natural, it's the same thing in the spiritual. And finally, we know that the end is better than the beginning because our hope does not disappoint. Can you give the Lord a great big praise tonight? Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.